Welcome to NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Here are today's top stories. President Trump arrives in New York City for the 74th UN General Assembly. Find out here some of the topics on the agenda and more. UK travel company collapses, stranding hundreds of thousands abroad. The UK government estimated to spend millions of dollars to bring its citizens back home. This after the UK government declined to bail the company out. Afghanistan prepares for elections despite ongoing violence. 9 million voters registered. Candidates urging citizens to vote despite the danger. 140,000 security forces to protect the polling stations. Big winners at the 2019 Emmy Awards. Game of Thrones takes home award for Best Drama Series despite the plot controversy. Fleabag wins in four categories and more. President Trump in New York City for the United Nations General Assembly, where he will spend the next 3 days meeting with world leaders. President Donald Trump will be in New York for most of the week, among other world leaders participating in the 74th annual United Nations General Assembly, hosting a session on religious persecution. Another hot topic expected to be discussed over the next few days is the tensions between the U.S. and Iran. U.S. officials, including Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, blame Iran for the recent attack on Saudi oil facilities that knocked out 5% of the world's daily oil production. But Iran denies being behind the strike. President Trump says he doesn't plan on meeting with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, but hasn't specifically ruled it out. President Trump joined India's prime minister and tens of thousands of Indian Americans at the Houston Stadium yesterday. The rally was a show of support between the allies.
American President Mr. Donald Trump.
In an effort to cement ties with the world's largest democracy, Trump joined Modi at the rally called Howdy Modi, Shared Dreams, Bright Futures.
The relationship between the United States and India is stronger than ever before.
Approximately 50,000 people, many of them Texans, attended the event.
Friends, today India wants to move forward at a much faster pace than before.
Trump also spoke and took the opportunity to highlight new defense and trade ties and increased cooperation in space between the two countries.
And India has never invested in the United States like it is doing today. And I want to say, it's reciprocal because we're doing the same thing in India.
Trump's vow to fight radical Islamic terrorism drew loud cheers and a standing ovation in the stadium. India is concerned about Islamic terrorist activity from Pakistan-based organizations in the state of Kashmir. Modi said he expects positive results from his talks with Trump over the next few days. Both are attending the United Nations General Assembly meeting in New York this week. The two are set to meet on the sidelines of the meeting tomorrow. Tropical storm Karen is packing maximum sustained winds of 40 miles per hour. It's on track to pass near or over Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands tomorrow, bringing with it threats of flash floods and mudslides. The U.S. National Hurricane Center in Miami is forecasting up to half a foot of rain in parts of Puerto Rico and as much as 4 inches elsewhere on the island. Warnings for possible flash floods and mudslides are also in effect. Karen is the 11th named storm of the 2019 Atlantic hurricane season. It took shape near the Windward Islands of the Caribbean yesterday as it headed for Puerto Rico, prompting tropical storm warnings for the islands of Grenada and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. The Alaska Republican Party announced it is canceling the GOP presidential primary in the state, saying that it wouldn't serve a useful purpose. Its state central committee passed an interim rule allowing it to cancel the primary. The party said that there was no point when an incumbent Republican president, such as President Trump, was running for the Republican nomination. The party also said it approved a resolution to pledge all of its delegates to the national convention to Trump. Hundreds of thousands are stranded after one of the world's oldest travel companies based in the UK collapsed today, triggering the largest repatriation in British history since the Second World War.
Vacations have come to an end while anxiety sets in for the customers of the debt-ridden travel company Thomas Cook, which collapsed into liquidation overnight. 600,000 people worldwide stranded on holiday. Over 150,000 of those are British, sparking the nation's largest peacetime repatriation effort to bring vacationers back to the UK. It's estimated to cost British taxpayers about $187 million to bring them all home. The company failed to secure a $248 million rescue deal it's needed to keep it going. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson declined to step in with a government bailout, saying it would set up a moral hazard. But he pledged to get British travellers home. Tourists face up to 2 weeks stranded abroad. For those who book their travel through Thomas Cook, the news was a hard pill to swallow. This couple was due to go on their honeymoon.
Had the wedding in July, so it's been another couple of months waiting for this. Absolutely, just totally gutted. Really are gutted.
An apology earlier from the CEO, but no explanation.
I know that this outcome will be devastating to many people.
A well-known brand tracing back to the 1840s has come to an end overnight. Some say the company failed to keep up with the changing times. The UK government's insolvency service says it's too early to know what went wrong. Jane Werrall, NTD News, London.
Afghans are set to the poll to head to the polls for the election on September 28th, shadowed by fears and Taliban threats.
After months of uncertainty, the twice-delayed election is now expected to go ahead on September 28th. Afghanistan's Independent Election Commission said it has delivered the election material around the country ahead of the presidential vote. The candidates include President Ghani, who is seeking a new five-year term, and his longtime rival, Abdullah Abdullah, who is serving as the country's chief executive officer. Also on the ballot is former warlord Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, whose fighters are accused of killing thousands in Kabul during the 1990s civil war. The election comes as the United States and the Taliban are trying to seal an agreement under which U.S. forces will withdraw in exchange for a Taliban security guarantee and a promise of power-sharing talks with Ghani's government. The Taliban, however, has expressed plans to disrupt and derail the elections. And despite a rise in bombings, presidential candidates are urging people to cast their vote to defeat the Taliban agenda of circumventing the democratic process. More than 9 million voters have registered, and senior officials in Kabul set over 140,000 security forces to protect 28,000 polling stations.
In Hong Kong, citizens gathering to speak out about the lack of response from the government when armed thugs attacked protesters inside a train station 2 months ago. NTD's Jeremy Sandberg spoke with Hong Kong citizens to find out how the situation is developing.
Altercations and clashes between police and protesters continued in the streets of Hong Kong on Saturday. Due to train stations in the area of scheduled protests being shut down, citizens planning a peaceful sit-in at Yuen Long Station moved to a nearby mall for their demonstration.
Nowadays, the police makes it more violent and more serious, and more the citizens, even though they did nothing, they also being arrested and accused by the police.
The relationship of the government and also the police to Hong Kong people is worse.
The Hong Kong police force has been violent and used excessive force when dealing with citizens protesting, as seen in the incident on August 31st, when police indiscriminately beat passengers inside a train, and July 21st at Yuen Long MTR station, when armed thugs attacked protesters with little repercussions from police.
The gangsters attacked Hong Kongers, but even police know the situation. They do not help us.
Hong Kong citizens have five demands for the government. While protests started over a controversial bill that would allow extradition to mainland China, they have expanded to address universal suffrage and police violence.
The situation has never been improved. Like, the chief executive in Hong Kong never face our demands and just ignore all of our actions. And the police brutality is keep happening in Hong Kong.
Yeah, and I think the situation is still very bad because we just have one demand is okay, and then another 40 months is never improved.
Many citizens feel it is their moral obligation to protest peacefully.
The Hong Kong future is our future. So we are here to protest because I'm fighting for our future.
We want to preserve all the rights, all the freedom for Hong Kong people.
Skirmishes earlier in the day with the police didn't affect Hong Kongers' resolve. They've still come out to have their voices heard, asking for five demands and not one less. Jeremy Sandberg, NTD News, Hong Kong.
This week, U.S. congressional committees are due to start voting on the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act. Author and China expert Gordon Chang says that the Hong Kong people are at the front lines of defending democracy and that this legislation will provide vital support.
Both U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee and House Foreign Affairs Committee will begin to review the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act Wednesday. China expert Gordon Chang says the legislation provides important support to the people of Hong Kong.
The Communist Party of China has been attacking democracy across the board, across the world. Right now, the front line is in the streets of Hong Kong.
People in Hong Kong continue to protest, asking the government to respond to all five of their major appeals. The police again used tear gas bombs and fired sponge bombs to disperse the people and arrested many. Gordon Chang visited the city earlier this month. He said the majority of people in Hong Kong support the protesters despite their tactics.
People in Hong Kong much more concerned about the intransigence of Carrie Lam, about the excessive force used by the Hong Kong police, and by the intrusive policies of Beijing.
While Chief Executive Carrie Lam has withdrawn the extradition bill, which has provoked the protests of the last 3 months, Gordon Chang believes what the protesters are really concerned about is something much bigger.
Those protests that we see today are not about extradition. They're about China.
The Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act proposes a number of measures, including an annual report to assess whether China has eroded Hong Kong's civil liberties and rule of law as protected by Hong Kong's basic law, which will help Congress assess whether Hong Kong is sufficiently autonomous from China to justify its unique treatment. U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi last week promised to advance the bill swiftly. Reporting by Kitty Wong, NTD News.
A classroom in the Kenyan capital Nairobi collapsed today, killing several children and injuring dozens more.
Several children have been killed and dozens more injured after a classroom collapsed in the Kenyan capital Nairobi on Monday. A local lawmaker said the first floor of the Precious Talent School had given way, trapping the children below. Rescue workers have been sifting through the debris and carrying white body bags to an ambulance. As of Monday morning, a government spokesman said there had been 7 deaths and another 57 students taken to hospital. The cause was not immediately known, but authorities have previously warned that 30 to 40,000 buildings erected without approval in Nairobi are at risk of collapse. 3 years ago, a 6-story residential block fell down following heavy rains in the city, killing 51 people.
Up next, researchers in France are developing an MRI scanner that could produce brain imaging at a much higher resolution. This new MRI could help doctors better diagnose illnesses like Alzheimer's. That and more after the break. A Jerusalem court ruled today that a former school principal wanted in Australia on sexual abuse charges will remain in Israel for further examination.
Activist against child abuse Manny Wax voiced disappointment over the latest ruling.
The Australian community more broadly is waiting the outcome of this decision, and what we are seeing is a continuation of a farcical situation. Israel's reputation is continuing to suffer as a result of this case, and we certainly hope that justice will prevail sooner rather than later.
Malka Liefer's defense attorneys in the past cited several experts diagnosing her with schizophrenia, and her lawyer Talga Bay told media he hoped for the cancellation of extradition procedures in the light of the ruling. Liefer is a 54-year-old former Melbourne school principal wanted in Australia for 74 counts of suspected sexual abuse. She allegedly committed the acts during her tenure as principal of Adas Israel School. Liefer, a dual Australian-Israeli citizen, fled to Israel in 2008 when allegations of her sexually abusing girls at her ultra-Orthodox Jewish school in Australia began to surface. She was arrested in Israel in 2014 and released on bail. She has avoided several extradition hearings due to what she said were extreme anxiety attacks. Liefer has denied the charges and was admitted to an Israeli hospital in 2016 after being declared unfit to stand trial. Wax said the next hearing in the case will be held in December. NTD News.
Researchers in France are developing an MRI scanner that could produce brain imaging at a much higher resolution. This, researchers hope, will help better explain neurological functions and detect illnesses faster.
The giant magnet in the MRI, which is being developed at the Neurospin facility near Paris, could help better diagnose maladies such as Alzheimer's disease.
We hope that this magnet, as a function of MRI, would allow us to look into the role, the principles, and the mechanics of these brain layers, to better understand our brain and how it works, and to study the characteristics of what is special to the human species, things like music, mathematics, or language.
Magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI, uses strong magnetic fields and radio waves to produce detailed images from inside the body. It is built by layering 170 double pancake superconductor coils of niobium titanium alloy. A total of 130 miles of wire made of the alloy were used for the magnet. The apparatus emits a magnetic field of 11.7 teslas.
11.7 Tesla is 230,000 times stronger than the Earth's magnetic field. Compare that with the usual magnets in hospitals, which measure around 3 Teslas.
Once in place, the machine could produce images 10 times clearer than those of today's most advanced MRI machine, which has a magnetic field of 7 Teslas. Project engineers are currently conducting tests on the magnet, and the super machine will not be ready for at least another year. NTD News.
Up next, find out who won big at the Emmy Awards. Game of Thrones takes home award for Best Drama Series despite plotline controversy. Fleabag wins in 4 categories and more after the break. And lots of surprises at the 71st Emmy Awards last night in Los Angeles.
HBO's Game of Thrones took home the award for Best Drama Series, continuing its streak of the most awarded series in Emmy history, despite fan uproar over the conclusion of the series.
I still haven't seen the show.
It's really good.
So that's how I dealt with that controversy. I haven't seen the final season.
And a big night for Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who won in 4 categories for her British comedy Fleabag, taking home the trophy for Best Comedy Series, directing for a comedy series, writing for a comedy series, and also won Best Comedy Actress.
To be honest, this just feels like the most beautiful, beautiful way to say goodbye to it, actually. And it feels like, as Sean always puts it so beautifully, it does feel like the story is complete.
Absolutely. And British newcomer Jodie Comer took home the Emmy for her lead actress role in Killing Eve.
Absolutely surprised the women in that category, and the fact that I am in amongst them still blows my mind.
The Emmys decided to follow the Oscars this year and also didn't have a host. The Emmys aired last night at the Microsoft Theater on Fox.
Downton Abbey topped this weekend's box office. The big screen treatment of the popular British TV show brought in $31 million for its debut weekend. Coming in second is the sci-fi film Ad Astra, starring Brad Pitt, which took in more than $19 million. Rambo: Last Blood, starring Sylvester Stallone, came in third, bringing in $19 million for its debut run. Up next, NTD reporter Shiwen Rong takes us to the shop of a master watchmaker to learn more about all the skill and effort needed to keep a dying craft alive. More when we return. When Jim Michaels started in watchmaking, people came to his shop looking for something to tell time. And today, people come for a piece of art. NTD reporter Shiwen Rong is in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, at one of the last bastions of watchmaking called the House of Time. For Jim Michaels, watchmaking is not just changing a part.
You have to know a lot more than just replacing wheels. You have to know metallurgy. You have to know chemistry. You have to know a lot of math. There's a lot of skills involved in it.
Michaels has been interested in the mechanical since he was a child. In fact, it was a watch from his father that sparked that interest.
I remember opening the back and seeing all those tiny wheels and all those parts and all the stuff, and I thought, this is really cool. So I kept that watch, and then when I graduated from Switzerland, I restored it and gave it to my father.
He's been a horologist or watchmaker for more than 53 years. His success?
And there's so few people left that really are old school, I call old school watchmakers, that know really how to do the watchmaking. And we're so busy that we don't have time to do it anymore. You know, I mean, you just can't do it. There's really no place to learn this anymore.
He became one of the few watchmakers in town. Many visitors to the House of Time are drawn in by the unusual and sometimes one-of-a-kind timepieces from the mechanical era.
There's very few mechanical things today that are 200 years old or even 300 years old that you can get working like they originally intended. You know, there's not many of those left at all.
Some clients come to get a piece of history. Students also come to marvel at Michael's handiwork.
And I show them the inside of it, and they just eyes get this big around. I go, wow, this is really cool. What makes it work?
And Michael's will tell them magic. And the reason he likes to restore the watches...
It brings history back, and it saves history, I think.
For Michael's, old watches have a heart and a soul.
The old watches are handmade. All of the old ones were handmade. And you can tell they have a personality of their own. You can tell the person who made them. You can tell his personality because he took the time to do things that no one else would see except another watchmaker.
And when someone asks him why anyone would pay so much for a mechanical watch when they can get one for $5, he always tells them,
I mean, you can have a tree that's paint by numbers, it's worth nothing, or you could have a Rembrandt tree, and it's a piece of art. That's the big difference. I mean, one's done by a master and one isn't.
Today, watchmaking has become a dying art.
It's history. You shouldn't, just because history has changed doesn't mean you forget it. You got to know where you've come from to where you're going.
For Michaels, he hopes to keep this moment in time alive. And that's all for now. Join us again this evening for your NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer.